invite you to turn your pew Bible this morning to the book of 1 Samuel. And so if you come here this morning thinking we're going to start a new series this morning, I need to apologize. I want to take a day and just recognize our mothers this morning. So, and Janice, can you bump me up just a little bit? So I'm a little bit louder. Can you hear me good there in the back of the pew? We're good? All right. Very good. All right, so this morning, what do godly mothers do? And we're going to look at the story of Hannah. Just a great biblical model for us. A mother who went through a lot of things in her life. It wasn't an easy life, but she gave God praise. And God did bring blessings as well to her life. So we're going to read the first chapter and then all the way to 2:2. So follow along in your pew Bible this morning and just listen to what goes on in her life. There is a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, now Eli, you remember, he was the high priest at the time, would have been worshiping in the temple, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." Excuse me. "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. I want you to pay attention to this verse, because notice when it comes. Now let me finish the rest of the story to you. Notice how she walks away, that her face is no longer downcast. Before what's going to take place here shortly in a few verses. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned," and by the way, when I say that, it was normal for a mother to carry a child for 2 to 5 years. Was the norm back then. "I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah said to her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her. young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." The word of the Lord. Mark, you're good. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, having read your word from the book of Samuel, Lord, we're reminded of the mother Hannah. Lord, may you bring this word to life, and may these words be your words, and may you fill me with that Holy Spirit as I bring this message to your people. Lord, those that have gathered here today, whether in the pew or online, Lord, may you bless them too with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may they receive your word, Lord, in heart, in mind, and in soul. Teach us your ways. In Jesus we pray, amen. Mother's Day. For some, your mother is no longer here. She might be walking with the Lord. For some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood is not possible. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still not a bed of roses, but a difficult, hard thing. Poet Wilhelm Busch said this, "To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so." So with all these qualifications, why bother with Mother's Day? Why do we celebrate our moms? And so let me share with you why we do this. Because there's a lot of stumbling blocks that I just mentioned to you. There's pitfalls, there's broken dreams, there's dirty diapers, there's dirty walls, there's dirty floors, there's spoiled plans. And yet we're still talking about a beautiful ideal. A natural part of God's creative plan to bring love and caring to light. Who better than to show love to not only a family or maybe a spouse, but to the rest of the world? A mother, her heart, her love. And so this morning, I honor the moms that are here today. And so we're going to look at a woman who is a model of godly motherhood. And so this mother does not only speak to our moms today, but also is a lesson for all of us in what love should look like in our lives. Hannah is a woman of God. You've seen it in the way that she worshiped. Hannah has several characteristics of a great godly person and a great godly mother. And I want to share those with you this morning, and we'll get into those in just a little bit. So these characteristics that I speak of are addressed to mothers, but also to the rest of us that are gathered here this morning. So let me start out with just a simple question for you this morning. Have you as a mother ever faced problems in your life? And you don't need to raise your hand because all of you would have your hands up. I want to tell you this morning, I want to reiterate to you this morning as a mom, that you're going to have problems in this life, whether you're a believer in the God of the Father of Heaven or not. You're going to have problems in life. And I think too often that we think, people think, and moms in particular, that if I have problems in my life, whether it be with my children or whatever it be in my household, whatever that looks like, that if you're not living up to the standard that you think that God should have you living up to, that you think you are a bad mom. And I want to tell you something different about that this morning. Because that's a lie straight from Satan. That when you have problems and things don't quite go right, when maybe a child acts out or you don't think you're loving them enough or whatever goes on, that you think that you're not, no way possible, being a loving, kind, godly mother. Now, there's some exceptions to that rule, of course, but for most of you, I don't think you live there, but Satan tells you the lie that you're a bad mom. And I'm here to tell you something different today. Something about what the Lord has planned for you as mothers in the life of Hannah. Jesus told us that we're going to have trouble in this life. John 16, verse 33, it's on the screen in the blue. In this world, you're going to have trouble. I mean, that's for all of us. Especially for you this morning, mothers. And if you look at the Bible, I can find you example after example of people that have trouble in their lives. Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Esther, and now we talk about Hannah this morning, a mother who had problems, troubles, went through anguish in her life. Hannah's husband, Elkanah, had two wives. God bless him, right? But his other wife, Peninnah, she was able to have children. In those days, in the Old Testament time, it was so important that when you married, that your wife could continue the family legacy, that the inheritance could be handed on, that the family name survived in the land. So it was so important that a mother, a wife, could have children and could bear sons and daughters to Elkanah. But not only was Hannah unable to have children, she faced the ridicule from this other wife most of her life. And if you have your Bible open, it's verse 6 in the first chapter where it said, "And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." Can you just imagine how this would go? Now, if you can see that picture well enough, Peninnah is in the background and she's got those evil little eyes and that wicked little smile towards Hannah, who's grieving. Can you just think of the words that she might be saying to Hannah? It might go something like this: "Hannah, could you help me because I have so many children? Or Hannah, can you help me change some diapers? Oh, do you know how? Because you don't have children, do you?" You see, provocative. And drove her to misery and suffering. And, you know, there was times when I think Hannah probably felt like, "I am so inadequate. Why would God have me live this life? What is my purpose, Lord? My womb is barren. I can't continue on the family legacy for Elkanah. What is my purpose in life? Because I don't get it." I'm sure there are women here today. I'm sure there are people here today who might feel inadequate in their role, in their life. And maybe there's even a mother here, or excuse me, a lady here that's unable to have children. Or maybe there is a mother here, and I know this for sure there is, that has lost a child. Miscarriage, abortion, the death of a child that walked this earth. And maybe you're struggling today with those decisions, those events that have occurred in your life. And so I want to tell you this morning that this message is for you. The goodness of God, the grace of God. To be a godly mom or a godly person does not mean that you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that you're going to make all the right decisions all the time. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do the wrong thing once in a while in your life. And the Bible tells us that you're going to face problems as a mom. But you need to know that you don't have to face them alone. And so what does a godly mom do in those moments when you experience those things in life? And here's why I'm going to hold up Hannah to you this morning, and I'm going to share with you the things that she did in her life. Now, it wasn't easy. We'll see that in Scripture, but here's the first thing that she did. And I know that most of you moms, if not all of you, do this on a daily basis. Fathers, you're probably right there with it, but you pray for your children. You pray for the situation that you find yourself in, the problem that you might be faced with or that's in front of you from day to day. And it could be small, it could be big. Verse 10 said that in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly in that prayer because she hurt so bad. The circumstances she was dealing with in her life. She poured out her heart and her soul to the Lord. She had some real problems that caused her great pain and anguish. And here's what I want you to get this morning. Instead of being downcast and downtrodden, instead of looking down, she looked up to God. It says a lot right there, doesn't it? And often it's until we face the problems that we don't know what to do with, that we don't understand and make no sense, that we can't figure out. That's usually when we go to God at that point in our lives. So often, you and I, we try to handle it the best we can ourselves, right? Oh, I got this. I know what we need to do. Well, sometimes that's not always the right answer. It might get you by once in a while. But what if we were to just go to God first in those types of situations in our lives? Difficult circumstances in our life teach us to persevere. And they help us to mature and rely upon God in the midst of those things. They stretch us. They grow our faith. You look at Paul, the things that he went through in his life, and you think about the thorn in the flesh. And God said, I'm not going to remove that problem. I'm not going to remove that thorn, because what I want is I want you to be dependent upon me as God the Father. And of course, we know that in 2 Corinthians, he goes on to tell Paul, my grace is sufficient. My love for you is sufficient in all circumstances that you're going to face in this life. And let me also share this with you. Christ's power is made perfect in your weakness. That can be hard sometimes, can't it? Because you have to go to that weak place. Sometimes God will drive us there. Sometimes we choose to go on our own or be willingly to those places. But it's not until we face problems that our weakness is exposed. Right? And then sometimes you're in a problem that you don't know what to do with, and you don't know how to even maybe pray, and that's when you turn to God. Because you're too weak to handle maybe what you're facing or what's going on. And I'm not talking just about a bad report card here from a child that comes home from school or a detention. I'm talking about real life things that are hard and difficult to navigate as a mom. And so I'm assuming that most of you are dealing with different issues. And so may I encourage you to go to God with those different issues and those different problems that you face. Hannah did. That's what she did. She didn't turn away from God. She went to God with her problems. Let me reiterate this to you this morning, because often I think that we get this idea that for us to approach God, that we need to have everything kind of laid out and put together and know what we're going to pray for and how it's going to go. And just let me say this to you today. You don't have to come to God perfect and having it all together. You can just lay the rawness right out there to Him, and He's going to hear that prayer from your heart. Whatever that looks like for you and I. Come in your brokenness. Come in the hard things in life, of the things that you see your children or maybe some of your family going through, or maybe you're struggling with in your personal life, and maybe it's even in your marriage. God says, bring all that crap and that ugliness to me. Let me take care of that. Being in a relationship with Jesus, with God the Father, means that you and I are real with Him. Share what's going on in your heart. He already knows. He's just waiting for you to pour it out. That's what Hannah did. And that's why I want to just impress that upon you as well. Here is another area that I want to share with you. The second characteristic of Hannah that will help us understand is that a godly mom trusts God's provision. Whatever that looks like in your life, right? Now you think about that. God, He blessed Hannah to provide a child for her, and that boy was named Samuel. And of course we know that she made a vow and a promise and all those kinds of things. But here's some things I want you to think about in your life. 1 Samuel 1 verse 20, we see that promise there. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. But God sometimes will choose to change our circumstance as part of His provision. But I want you to hear this morning. Sometimes God does not change our circumstance, but He still provides. And it may be a totally different way than what you expected or than what you thought in your life, right? The best example I can give you this morning is maybe a young couple that's unable to have children. They have their heart set on that they're going to have children and da-da-da. And so God doesn't change their circumstance, but He still provides a child through adoption. See how that works? God still provides. Now remember that verse that I told you to hang on to, verse 18? I said, pay attention to this verse as I read to you this morning. Let me read that to you again. This is before she became pregnant. She's in the temple, she's worshiping, she's praying, and here's what it says. She went her way and she ate something. Now before that, she was so distraught, she couldn't even eat, right? Peninnah is just reaping on her. I mean, she wasn't feeling right, she was in distress, and here we see that the Lord, she ate something. And her face was no longer downcast. She began to look up. It's a pretty important verse here that I want you to get and to realize. Before she became pregnant, before she even could have been pregnant, God provided peace for Hannah in the midst of all the turmoil that was going on. Now, He didn't answer the prayer yet, but in the midst of what's going on, the provision of peace is given to Hannah in her life. In the midst of all the craziness, she got it. She realized that God blessed her with that peace in her life. And as we trust in Jesus for our salvation, and as we grow in our relationship with Him, our job is to pour out our hearts to the Lord in anguish. God cares for us. And I can't tell you that enough. He provides for you in those difficult, hard situations of life. And one of the provisions is peace for you and I when you ask in those types of situations. But let me also tell you this morning. God's provision does change us as well. Those things that might look different, that might change in our life when we pray a certain prayer and it gets answered in a different way that we're probably not used to. But God's provision will change you and I. And I want to say that's usually for the better as well. God blesses us. You might not understand everything that's going on in the midst of what you're dealing with. But you understand that at that point, He gives you peace that you don't need to know. Because God has got this taken care of. God is good all the time. We can trust Him all the time. We can trust Him to provide exactly what you need all the time. in your life. So being a godly mom means trusting in God's provision in your life. Let me share the next one with you this morning. There we go. A godly mom keeps her promises. If you're in your Bible, it's verse 11. And she made a vow, right? A vow is a promise. She said, Lord, if you, now this is verbatim, I'm not going to read it. Lord, if you give me a child, I will dedicate that child to you. It will live in the temple of God the rest of its life. It will serve you. Her first child. That's her promise. And Hannah kept her promise. Now, how many of you, I want you to think about this just for a moment. Now, she's been praying for several years and to have a child. She's wept. She's bitter. She made a vow to God and said, God, if you give me a child, I promise I'll just give him to you. How many could get to that point and that day comes when you need to give that child up to the Lord? Your first one. How many would be willing to do that? You've been praying a long time for a child. Now you make the promise to God, I promise I'll give them to you. How many would you want to renege on that promise? Right? Probably all of us. Correct? There's a whole other sermon in that, just that little story right there of Jesus Christ, the first son, going to the cross for our sins. But that's not the message today. But yet it is. Now let me tell you something else to kind of fill in the blanks here just a little bit. Later on, if you read in the book of Samuel, Hannah went on to have five more children. God blessed her greatly. But can you imagine giving up that first son? What that had to be like? That had to be so hard and difficult for her. May I give you this hope this morning, that even in the midst of those hard, difficult places in life, we will be blessed when we keep the promises of God. And there will be times as mothers that you're going to sacrifice somewhere along the road in your life for your children if you not have already done that, right? Having a family, raising children, there are sacrifices that you will make. In your marriage, there will be sacrifices that you will make. In your home, there will be sacrifices that you will make. And Hannah did that. She gave her first child to Eli. And Samuel, you'll know, if you know the story, he went on to anoint Saul and to anoint King David. The spiritual leader of Israel is who this young boy would become. The goal of every mother here should be to raise your children to trust in the Lord and to serve him, even if it requires sacrifice, right? How many of you have had young families, and some of you are living there today? It is a sacrifice to get to church at 9:30 on Sunday morning, isn't it? It can be difficult sometimes. Some of you have older children, and you're still smirking and smiling yet, right? Sacrifice. That's what Hannah did. And so the ultimate goal of parenting is to teach our kids the ways of God. So godly moms are a woman of their word. And last, if I can finish up here this morning, a godly mom praises the Lord. Verse 2, right? Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 there in 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. There's no one holy like you, Lord. Lord, there's no rock like our God. Hannah praised God because she knew that God had blessed her and Samuel was blessed as well. So how many of you this morning, I put these sermons together and I begin to think about my own family and I think about you as church families, you gather here and you have all these things that are going on in life. How many of you can just, this is something I want you to take home here this morning. This is off script, by the way. How many of you can just fully trust God with your child, no matter the circumstance that you find them in? that it's going to be okay. That you can give that to God and you can rest in that and you can have peace in those situations with your child, and maybe it's even a grandchild. I want you to think about that this morning. Say, God, I trust you. I can give it to you. Because there's some rough places out there today, isn't there? Sometimes children don't do what we want them to do. Sometimes children stray from maybe the things that you've taught them. But here's what I want to reiterate to you this morning as a mother, is that you've done your part. It's not perfect, but it's not going to be perfect. But to trust God. Because when Hannah said to little Samuel, can you imagine him, 3 or 4 years old, he said, you go with Eli now. Eli will take care of you. I'm going to go home to my home in Shiloh. You stay here in the temple. I love you, son. And she said goodbye. Because she trusted God in the midst of those things. So my question for you this morning, have you been seeking his help and his provision as a mom? I'm going to encourage you to pray. I'm going to encourage you to trust in God's provision, trust in his plan for your families, no matter how messy it is. Right? Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? Right? We rely upon God, our Creator. So moms, may you be blessed today. You know, for some, it's maybe a tough day. For others, it's a joyous day. But in the midst of everything, we still worship our God who sits on the throne. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.